You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, wow, what a day we got for you now. I mean, we got stuff. We got lots of stuff. And it is right now 2:08 p.m. on March the 3rd. But I'm going to go to my comments now, my Right Side Way monologue, and then I'm going to go back to that number one on the triple dipper, the spend it while you got it. And as I was thinking through my preparations for that and having Justin Bogey on the show, I remember once when my son, who is now 33, was about 4 years old. We were walking through the mall. He was holding my hand. He was out with his dad for an afternoon, and I had bought him a pack of Skittles. He was just carrying those Skittles in his other hand, you know, just carrying it along, never once asking if he could open it and have some. Now, you know the deal. Candy's like kryptonite for most kids. You don't put sugar in their hands with the expectation they won't want to consume it rapidly. But after a bit, I happened to look down at him, and I caught sight again of that little arm swinging, that red package of Skittles still in his hand. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, buddy, you want me to open those Skittles for you?" And he responded with that little guy voice, "No, not right now." And that kind of surprised me. So I asked him, "Why not, bud?" And I was really taken aback when he just nonchalantly said, "I might need them later." I mean, wow. My four-year-old had better personal restraint than I did. He was literally delaying gratification because he figured he might want those Skittles later. And I'm pretty sure my son was a fiscal conservative at the ripe old age of four. Okay, so listen. Here's a not-so-rhetorical question for all you right-side ruffians. What does it take to be able to effectively label yourself as a fiscal conservative? Especially if you're a politician. I mean, really, we hear that phrase all the time, but what does it even mean? With just a modicum of research, you can go online to the great Oracle of Google and you can find some actual definitions. I did that. Here's one. You ready? Quote, "Fiscal conservatism is a political and economic philosophy regarding fiscal policy and fiscal responsibility with an ideological basis in capitalism, individualism, limited government, and laissez-faire economics." Okay, cool. So what did that even say? Well, here's the breakdown that I believe goes along with it, and I agree with this. Fiscal conservatives advocate for tax cuts, reduced government spending, free markets, deregulation, privatization, free trade, and minimal government debt. The problem is, there's very few who truly adhere to those principles. So let me do this. Let me just do an exercise, and sometimes I have to do this for myself, to be honest. Just have to break things down to the lowest level. So let's take the lowest level example of what a fiscal conservative would be. Imagine just like running your own household, right? You have a fixed income, you have some fixed expenses. When the paycheck comes in, you pay the bills first to make sure that the essentials of life can continue, like, you know, your rent and your electric bill, that kind of thing. You may also set aside some of the surplus you might have as savings because you believe it's a good idea to put away some funds, however large or small, because you want to make sure that you're ready for a rainy day or to save for vacation or for Christmas shopping later. All good. You may also look at charitable giving to your church or a community group that does good things. And hopefully in all of this, you also set aside something toward retirement because you may not want to work forever, right? Well, what I just described would probably be a fiscally conservative household where income exceeds output and debt is kept to a manageable level and there's no imperative to just spend it because you got it. Well, now imagine that other household. The one is not like that. The one that doesn't have any measure of economic restraint. They get the same level paycheck, right? But they really want that new car, that bigger house, or the other goods and services that would just be neat to have. So they pay the bills, but they don't always have much left at the end of the month because they want what they want when they want it. So to make it fit, they borrow money. And then borrowing unnecessarily, if you will, because they've got things that they want, not need, just want. And the savings don't happen then. And the charitable giving, well, I mean, that's optional anyway, so yeah. So the debt accumulates while the income remains fixed, and it gets harder and harder to pay the bills that are actually necessary, not a good situation. Well, you can imagine which of those two households would fall into the fiscally conservative category. And to be brutally honest, I've been in both positions, all right? I've learned hard lessons along the way. And I would dare say the fiscally conservative household is the one that may sometimes have less stuff, but it nonetheless breathes better. Now, let's switch back to government. And first of all, I'll clarify some things. First off, when I'm talking about rich, I'm not talking about rich versus poor, all right? I'm talking about the mindset. You can have few resources and be a good steward of what you got. I told my employees once as we set up a new 401k plan for them that some of the younger folks should consider just starting with the discipline of sacrificing one pizza a month and putting that $20 in savings or retirement. At the end of the year, they would have saved $240. Well, for many people, that's small fry. But I can tell you from personal experience that for many people, that's a big deal because it represents the actual discipline of being fiscally sound. It becomes a mindset. But then there's government. And too often government acts like the second household, the one that wants it when it wants it because it wants it. Politicians aren't spending their own money, so you know, what's up? Let's do it. We need a port project? Got you covered. Need some revenue for a new road? No problem. Education running last in the nation? Just spend some more money on it. Never mind the fact that the return on the investment is so low. Well, let me be pragmatic here. Yes, I am fully aware that essential services of government cost money. You cannot have law enforcement or schools or roads or bridges or anything else without money. I get that. But those are also the essentials. Like you and I paying the mortgage and the power bill. Those have to happen. But how many times have we seen government belly up to the bar, print more money, and go well into deficit spending not because they have to, but because they want to? They even have a name for it. They call it bringing home the bacon. That's also where we get the phrase pork spending. I would also point out that when government has too much money, a surplus, what that really means is they've collected more of your tax dollars than what they really needed. And by the way, that's your tax dollars. It's not theirs, it's yours. Well, right now in Montgomery, the state legislature is pondering legislation that just came out of the House Education Finance Committee, and it takes billions in excess surplus funds. And rather than giving some back to you, the taxpayer from whom it was collected, they have generated a bevy of port projects to spend it on. I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. But suffice to say, it all falls into the not necessary column. Meanwhile, the price you pay at the gas pump is partly because they raised your taxes. And you live in one of the only states in the nation that taxes groceries. And they're just good with that. This is the government version of ripping into that pack of Skittles like a spider monkey on a cupcake. Money in, gotta spend. Well, it's time for this current bunch in the state house to stop bellying up to the trough. They finally have a position in the state of Alabama where we have excess funds. That has not always been there, and I can tell you it wasn't there for the 8 years I was there. But it's time for the bunch in the state house right now to stop bellying up to the trough and funding things with excess funds and start considering how to return some of that to all of you, not just to some of you, to all of you. Fiscal conservatism. It's on all of their campaign signs. But is it real? And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I have been in that position. Charlene and I, we've gone through our lean years. We've gone through our learning years. And, you know, we've gone through our years that things were better and we were able to actually set aside. Sometimes, though, it also becomes a matter of choice. It's a matter of stewardship. You can do stuff with very little if you have the right mindset to do so. Being rich does not mean creating savings. Having the mindset, the stewardship, the fiscal conservative mind is what creates wealth. And right now in Montgomery, it's called Spend It While You Got It. All about the Benjamins. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Plenty more of that where that came from. We'll be right back.